Time now for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Last week in Philadelphia, police circulated pictures of a man wanted for questioning in the rape of an 11-year-old girl on her way to school. What happened next is either vigilante justice or justice served, depending on your point of view. Several young men in the neighborhood thought they recognized the suspect, chased him down the street, and beat him with their hands, feet, and sticks. The man was taken to a hospital in handcuffs and treated for face and neck injuries. So far, he's not been charged. Results from tests of DNA evidence are expected today, but he remains in police custody on an unrelated warrant. In an opinion piece last Friday in the Philadelphia Daily News, lawyer Christine Flowers wrote she knows that street justice is wrong, but that a part of her wanted to pump her fist in the air and scream, yes. And we want to hear from you. Could you ever support vigilante justice? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at npr.org/talk. Christine Flowers joins us from a studio in Philadelphia. Her op-ed, Sometimes It Does Take a Village, appeared in last Friday's Philadelphia News. There's a link to it at npr.org/talk. Nice to have you on the program with us today.
Thank you, Neil. It's my pleasure.
And doesn't this go against everything you learned in law school?
It does, and that's why in the article I said I'm feeling somewhat schizophrenic these days, because the part of me that paid a lot of money for my law school education is wincing at what happened to Mr. Carrasquillo, and the other part is pumping my fist in the air and saying, finally, someone stepped up to the plate.
Because the administration of justice in Philadelphia is not always efficient and not always fair.
And that's exactly right, Neil. And I think that this, again, this is not a black and white issue. And there are obviously very legitimate concerns on both sides. But I think what is lost in some of the discussion is that there has been a failure on the part of the criminal justice system, not only in Philadelphia, but nationwide. And in Kensington, in the neighborhood in which the rape occurred, The problem is that you have individuals who are arrested for crimes, convicted of those crimes, incarcerated, released on parole, committing other crimes. There's very, very little supervision. And you can understand that those who live in the neighborhood itself are becoming frustrated by the fact that they're not protected. They can't protect themselves. And so I can understand getting to a breaking point where you finally say something has to be done. If the government isn't going to protect us, we have to take matters into our own hands, which, of course, is a very dangerous thing. But you have to understand, put yourself in the shoes of the individuals who are in those communities that are being racked by the crime. I mean, I live in a very safe suburban neighborhood, so I can't presume to say that what those individuals, at an emotional level, what those individuals did was wrong, because I don't have to deal on a daily basis with threats to my family members, worrying about walking down the street and having my purse snatched or something far worse. So I don't want to stand in judgment of them.
And the mayor and the chief of police, I gather, feel pretty much the same way. No charges going to be brought against these men. In fact, the Fraternal Order of Police sent them a check.
That's right. The two who have been identified as detaining Mr. Carrasquillo, or the first ones on the scene, split a $10,000 reward. And Mayor Nutter and Police Chief Ramsey have been walking a very difficult, very narrow line here. They haven't come out and condoned vigilante or street justice. But at the same time, they have been very hesitant to come out and actually condemn what happened. In fact, Mayor Nutter said, it is a further demonstration that Philadelphians care passionately about this city, about our quality of life, and certainly about our children. And I think that he simply reflects the sentiment on the part of many Philadelphians, both in the city and those in the outlying suburbs, that this is a frustrating situation. And if the criminal justice system isn't going to protect you, maybe you have to start fashioning some kind of protective shield yourself.
Militias, street patrols. What if the test comes back and it turns out this man didn't do it?
That's the other side of the coin, and that's the part of me that winces when I see what happened. Because, in fact, at the time that that Mr. Carrasquillo was detained, he was not yet a suspect. Now, I know this is sort of a matter of semantics here. He was a person of interest, quote, a person of interest. But the police did have physical evidence that linked him to the crime. The description, the photo that, or I'm sorry, the police description, the drawing that was disseminated, right? It resembled him very closely, and again, as an attorney, I know that prior past acts cannot come in, but this gentleman has been convicted. He's had 17 priors, and he was out on a state supervised parole at the time of this last crime allegedly committed by him. And
that makes it okay for open season just to go attack him?
No, of course not. And that's Monday morning quarterbacking. But what I'm saying is you have someone who's out on the streets who has committed 17 priors, one of which he was charged in the past with attempted rape. Now, those charges were dropped. We don't know why they were dropped. We don't know why they were withdrawn. But you have an individual on the streets. And I think what I'm trying to say is you have to look at the larger picture. You have individuals who are living in this neighborhood. And in this neighborhood, they're being assailed by individuals who shouldn't be on the streets to begin with. So, of course, it's not right to go after an individual that hasn't been convicted of anything yet. But you can understand the frustration and the short fuses of people who have to live in a community where they don't know what they're going to find when they turn the corner. I don't deal with that living in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, a very safe, quiet, well-policed suburb. So, I don't want to stand in judgment of the residents of Kensington.
We're talking with lawyer Christine Flowers about vigilante justice in the streets of Philadelphia. There are links to several videos at our website, including footage of the beating. You can go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation, 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us here, or send us an email, talk@npr.org. And Roseanne is on the line calling from not too far away, Ardmore, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Hello, Neil. I'm just, and hello to your guest. I live just outside of Philadelphia. And I, too, was, you know, very happy to find out that this gentleman had been, you know, injured, you know, the suspect. But what I ended up finding out, and they reported this yesterday, there was another gentleman from that neighborhood who looked like the suspect that was severely beaten and was just recently released from the hospital. So that's the problem with vigilante justice, is the people in this neighborhood mistakenly beat up another person that looked like the suspect. It was either just before they got the real guy or just after. But
the apparent real guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The apparent. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And
that's the problem.
And Christine Flowers,
right.
If checks are being sent to these people, aren't they going to feel like the next time something happens that they are been authorized to go after people?
Well, I think I just wanted to make one brief comment with respect to what Roseanne said, and she's absolutely right. And I did want to mention that fact. That is the danger that we find ourselves in here. If we're not condoning vigilante justice, because you do have those situations where innocent people are going to be in the line of fire. So she's absolutely right. With respect to the payment of the reward to those two individuals who initially detained Mr. Carrasquillo, I myself would have not distributed the award until there was an actual conviction. Mm-hmm. I do think that was a mistake.
And there's another part of this. No charges have been filed against the men who detained him and beat him, as you said, or as far as I know, in the other beating. And if the city official, I can understand. I don't think there's a jury in the world that would convict anybody on these charges. But there's videotape of them beating a suspect.
Well, that's true. I think the issue here is, did they use reasonable force to detain the individual? Because as the FOP president had indicated, Mr. Carrasquillo was attempting to flee, and that the so-called beating, stopped when the police arrived. Now, you can say, well, obviously, they shouldn't have been beating him in the first place. They should have just held him and held him against a wall until the police arrived. But we weren't there. And as as I said, you know, this is Monday morning quarterbacking over here. We're standing here. I'm safe in a studio, and I'm judging the actions of individuals who I think legitimately thought they were serving the public interest.
Roseanne, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to Timothy. Timothy calling us from Syracuse.
Yeah, I just wanted to actually call up and express sympathy with your guest's viewpoint, especially considering her background. But I do think there's a certain point where the social recognition of justice does have to overtake a bogged-down formal process. Now, where that occurs is kind of a matter of debate because we can all understand the harm it's going to bring. But we're looking at the same sort of situation overseas in India with their terror suspect right now.
Well, he's on trial.
Well, yeah, he's on trial, but he's also, you know, very vulnerable to a mob attack. You know, they've got him in a bomb-proof, chemical-proof tunnel that he has to move through every day.
Well, and but they are protecting him because they are fearful.
The wrong in certain situations is so great that the citizens demand their justice.
Timothy, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Christine Flowers, people feel strongly about a lot of things, and lines do have to be drawn, and there's a big difference between the two cases, but you can make an extension of vigilante justice to the murder of Dr. George Tiller in Kansas.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of my fellow columnists at the Daily News did that. There was a very good op-ed by a gentleman named Michael Smirkanish who tried to make that parallel between what happened to Dr. Tiller, what happened to also two soldiers in, I believe it was Arkansas, who were murdered by an individual who was motivated by anti-military animus.
At the recruiting station, happened, yes. Yeah.
Right, right. And then what happened locally, that there is a connecting line here, that violence is dangerous regardless of the target of the anger or the violence. And I agree. It is, again, that's the point, the focus of my article is that there is no, I can't come down and say that either side has the definitive answer. As an attorney, and it pains me to have to sort of depart from my legal training here and become, let's see, inhabit the layperson's role and sort of shut my mind from the constitutional protections and the constitutional provisions that I studied for 3 years. But I understand also that the law has not, the criminal justice system has not worked well in my city. For example, we just came through a very bloody year where five police officers were murdered I think in an 18-month period, six had been murdered. Four of those, or three of those, were murdered by individuals who were out on parole for prior convictions. And so we have a parole system that's not working, that's feeding people back in onto the streets. We have police who are being targeted. So you can imagine if people see police being attacked, how do they feel about their own safety? How can they protect themselves? And they look to the criminal justice system. They look to people like me. They look to district attorney offices and parole boards, and they see that we're doing absolutely nothing to protect them. So I think it's understandable that something snaps, not condoning it, but understanding and empathizing with why they feel that they need to take matters into their own hands.
Our guest on the opinion page this week is Christine Flowers, who wrote the op-ed, Sometimes It Does Take a Village, in Friday's Philadelphia Daily News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Bob. Bob with us from, this is a pronouncer, Tahlequah, is that right?
Well, that's it, Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Go ahead, please.
All right, my point is this. First of all, I have no sympathy for any rapist. But no, I don't think it's vigilante justice, not a good thing. The point I was making with your screener, and she thought I was getting off the mark, but I'm not. There's a spectrum here. For instance, at one end of the spectrum, you have, how does vigilante justice, how does that apply to police brutality? On the other hand, you have, how does vigilante justice apply to neighbors turning in neighbors for things that aren't really crime? So in the middle, you have the situation that you're describing.
Police brutality, these are people who are trained and
No, I'm saying police brutality is occurring all over our country.
Oh, indeed it does.
And so what if there was vigilante justice – about that. That's not a good idea. So vigilante justice is never a good idea.
And Christine Flowers, I think, will agree with you and probably is not expecting a nomination to the Supreme Court anytime soon. But
No.
No.
But, I'm not expecting to remain in the legal profession for much longer.
Oh, really?
Well,
what's been the reaction?
Well, if you go online and you check the comments, I would say about 70% of the comments, 70% of the comments disagree with me very strenuously. There was one that I thought was actually kind of interesting and actually rather cute. They said that Christine says she sent a lot of money to Villanova Law School. Perhaps that money would have been better spent for therapy. That's kind of interesting.
It's good. It's good. Bob, thanks very much for the call.
Well, thanks for taking it.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go next to one last call. Ian with us from Wheaton, Illinois.
Hi. I just wanted to say, actually, one of the debate topics for the National Forensic League that came up for March and April was actually talking about vigilantism. The resolution said vigilantism is justified when the government has failed to enforce the law. And I think the issue that some people have is that in a vacuum, like in a law class, it's very easy to say that these people are breaking the law, but when you go into implementation, it acts as a very useful safety valve against that sort of activity because the government is inherently imperfect.
And so given the inherent imperfections of government, therefore you could make the argument vigilantism is always justified?
At least when the government has failed to enforce the law. If it can't enforce the law itself, then it's very simple. The people are the next line of defense.
Well, I think we can take both these arguments to extremes, Christine Flowers, but it's an interesting case there in Philadelphia, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next time.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
I would think so.
All right. Ian, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
And interesting conversation, Christine. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Christine Flowers is an immigration attorney and joined us from a studio in Philadelphia. You can find a link to her op-ed, Sometimes It Does Take a Village, on our website at npr.org/talk. There's also some of the relevant video footage of the incidents that we're talking about there in Philadelphia last week. Tomorrow, Secretary of Education Arne Duncan joins us to tell us how he plans to fix your public schools and take your questions. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.